So, good afternoon. It is 1:32 p.m., August 28th, 2024. This is an informal hearing on a case. It's the Montana Dakota Utilities Company Alternative Energy Allocation Methodology. It's case number PU-24-99. And Randy Christman, Public Service Commissioner, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchek. I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner. Well, let's see, it'd be your portfolio. So, Commissioner Fedorchek, could you have any opening comments?
I do not.
Okay. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, for opening comments, and then we can go around and have everyone identify themselves, and I'll have something more in a moment.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's so good to see so many of you here to present this exciting topic that we've been exploring. And I really don't have any opening comments. I know you worked with staff on the presentation, some additional information that we want you to go through. And I see it's in the PowerPoint. So what I'll do is just start over here, have MDU introduce themselves to your job title, and we'll just go around to everyone in the room for the record.
Lisa Morstead with MDU, a regulatory analyst.
Rhonda Erickson, Montana, Dakota, a regulatory analyst.
Stephanie Bosch, regulatory affairs manager.
Travis Jacobson, I'm in regulatory affairs as well.
Allison Walden with MDU Resources, here today representing Montana, Dakota.
Tara Vesey, regulatory affairs manager with Montana, Dakota Utilities.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Victor Shook, PSC staff.
Rob Frank,
PSC staff.
Rob Frank, PSC staff.
Okay, and I want to emphasize that since this is an informal hearing, it involves only undisputed information. If anything comes up that is disputed as to the whether it's factual or not or anything like that, we will have to suspend the informal and schedule a formal hearing. Who's kicking it off? Go ahead.
I will. Good afternoon, commissioners, and thank you for the invitation here today to discuss this case. We are here today to discuss Montana Dakota's application regarding its fuel and purchase power adjustment. This request was filed pursuant to the Commission's June 6, 2023 order in case PU-22-194, wherein Montana Dakota was required to provide an alternative energy cost allocation using the E-8760 allocation method. Montana Dakota has completed an E-8760 study as outlined in its application. The company has prepared a presentation to provide more detail as to its study and as required in the order. With that, I will turn it over to Ms. VC to provide the presentation.
Thanks so much. I will direct your attention to the presentation that you have in front of you as well as up on the screen. As we talked about, we're here to talk about case number PU-24-99. I apologize. I will get closer to this microphone when I speak. And as was briefly discussed, with our last electric case, we did agree to file within 9 months a compliance filing in which we reviewed an E-8760 cost allocation method, and we did go ahead and do that on March 6, 2024. And one of the things, just to level set, is we wanted to touch base on our current methodology for our fuel and purchase power adjustment. And so one thing that I just wanted to point out is that we do have this integrated system of costs that we allocate between three states, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana. And so once we get the North Dakota bucket of costs per se, we then take those energy costs, demand costs, and then there's also some revenues and other offsets. So our energy costs, which would be like your fuel costs, like your coal and gas costs, your market administration costs from like MISO and SPP, you know, your reagent costs, your power purchases, things like that. Those are allocated on an average kilowatt hour basis based on your class. So primary or secondary classes we have currently. And essentially it's just an average per kilowatt hour. And your demand, then we have your demand and pipeline charges, and those are going to be allocated based on the peak for your class. And then your revenues or other offsets are going to be allocated as well on your same way as your energy, so on your average per kilowatt hour basis. Okay? So those are kind of where those three buckets are, and that's how it is right now. We'll kind of compare that in the future on a way that we're the E8760 is going, you know, is kind of a different allocation method. But
so those three buckets are the purple, the blue, and the orange.
Correct. Yep. Absolutely. So when you think about the E87 allocation factor, really it's just a way of looking at energy allocation to kind of consider on and off peak cost variances and how different classes utilize that energy. So when one of the things that you want to do is, or one of the things that we looked at is reviewing customer classes. So you kind of group customers into similar load patterns. You have to kind of consider your availability of your load research data, and then also kind of the administration of maintaining all these different fuel and purchase power rates on a go-forward basis. So that was kind of the first step that we took.
I'm going to ask you a question right there.
Sure.
So your availability of load research data comes from what?
So right now we do a load research study at the time of an electric case filing.
Okay.
So that kind of allowed us to develop the different classes. So this is kind of comparing our current classes. So we talked about the two classes, primary and secondary, that we currently have. And the primary classes, and this is kind of Steph and Rhonda's, are the experts in this area, but I think the way that I kind of think about the primary class is that they basically have their own transformers. And anybody that would have their own transformer would be considered to be in the primary class. Anybody else would be considered in the secondary class. Do you agree, Steph, that that would be the best way to describe it?
Right. Primary customers can take voltage at a higher level. They don't need those step-down transformers that you would need for putting power into a home or a small business. There are bigger customers that they either own that equipment or they don't need it because they can take power at that higher level.
I'm wondering, if, just before we keep going, if we might be able to, I should have asked this from the beginning, but I'm going to stop. Victor, can you kind of give us the overview of what problem we're trying to solve here?
It's
that
not really necessarily
kind of stems back from, kind of remind us of the context of this, because it's been a while since
sure.
we
so,
heard.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily a problem. Mm-hmm. It stems back to, as they said earlier, so the last electric rate case, the large industrial customers felt strongly about this issue. And as part of the settlement agreement, they came up with, they weren't forcing the issue, but saying the company has to file this. And really, it's in their view, I would say it's fair to characterize it as the larger customers, such as the industrials, arguably are paying a higher rate for their energy than what they should. Other classes are maybe paying a lower rate for energy. That was their argument, I think, that led to this.
And how did it, this was from the last electric rate case. Remind me the context of their argument then. Why didn't we address it then?
I think it was just settlement negotiations.
Oh, okay.
I think they brought up the issue as part of their testimony, but ultimately, you know, everybody gives something on settlement, and that was something mostly gave up. I mean, the fact that we're here talking about this means they didn't entirely give it up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, would it also been a timing issue as far as doing studies and implementing it?
So we needed, to get all the data together to come up with this.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, we kind of reference it in the letter, but Marathon Petroleum, I think, was specifically kind of asking that we evaluate within 9 months the potential to kind of look at what this would, a ratioed factor might look or what that might look like as far as in a long-term factor on an electric rate.
Okay. And it would, like any rate change everybody's, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And to be clear, I think if the commission were to consider this, probably, and I think MDU is likely going to make this point, it would probably be most appropriate if the commission was going to direct this to happen. It would be best to say the next time you're in for an electric rate case, we should make this change, not today.
Sure. Got it. All right. Sorry.
No.
That's helpful. Thank you.
No, it's great. So as we look at those current classes of primary and secondary, then the E87 classes that we looked at, we kind of divided it into six different classes: residential, small general, large general primary, large general secondary, lighting primary, and lighting secondary. And we kind of defined those rates behind it for those of you that might know our rate schedule a little bit better. This next slide is very, very wordy, but bear with me. I'm just going to try to give you the Cliff Notes version now, okay? So essentially, I think this next slide is too wordy, but this is where I'm going to ooh and ah you, okay? Get ready. If you had signs, now is when you're going to hold them up. So like I said, we really only do load research studies right now at the time of a rate case. So what we did is we took our load research study from 2019, and we took those 2023 projected volumes that were agreed on in the case, and we laid that with the 2019 load research study. And then we took the LMPs from 2019 to come up with the hourly energy costs, right? And then we took that information to create our ratio information that I'm going to show you on the next slide. But that's essentially what this slide is walking through in a more detailed basis.
How come you took the years, like the 2019 versus?
Because of when we did the case,
our rate case.
Yeah, because our rate case was.
You had the data.
Yeah, the load study was based on 2019, and then the 2023 the 2023 projected period is what was where the case was sort of the rates were set on. So it's kind of that time period. So that created this class ratio. So if this top one's the pointer, right? So essentially how this ratio is being calculated is you're coming up with this average kilowatt hour value. And then your ratio is being calculated by taking the different, the ratio of this average kilowatt hour as it compares to the total average kilowatt hour, just really simply taking that piece of it. So you're seeing how, because that residential customer is probably using more on-peak power than off-peak power, they're kind of having that 102% class ratio. Where a large general primary customer who might be a customer that is using or for instance, on a more extreme basis, a lighting customer, which is most likely using power in the middle of the night for, you know, a lot of their power in the middle of the night, those off-peak hours when it is, when power is the cheapest, is going to have the lowest ratio. And so essentially it's saying that is allocating those costs to those classes on a lower basis. So
what? Here's what I hear you say. Let's take a large load like Walmart, who's using a lot of electricity mostly consistently because of the coolers and everything going on 24/7. They're not going to have the peak demand like a residential, like from 5 to 7. So there's going to be more this way where the residential is going to be this way.
Right.
And then go ahead.
If a way to look at it is that the ratio, the denominator is going to look at the average for the whole system put together. So when it has, when you add everything together and you got the large loads in there and they are running constantly or more so than the, say, residential or a different load like that, they're going to end up having a different average compared to the system average. Whereas you got something that comes on that tends to go when the energy costs are higher, then that's going to have more than what the system average of. And that's what that, when you do the ratio, if it's above one, that tells you that that specific customer class tends to use the energy when it's at a higher price. So it's driving that, the costs up. And then when, if it's lower, it can use more energy, but it's more consistently using energy on an average basis during times when costs are low. So it could still potentially be during that time that the energy costs are higher.
But you looked at the averages for each rate class, not as a group, just each rate class.
Well, they split them up, yeah, into those different ones. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure if that's the answer to this question or not. So just to clarify. So we're still using the same definitions that primary are larger users and secondary are smaller, right?
So, nope, we changed to the E8760. We changed to the E8760 classes. So we went from our current classes to the E8760 classes.
Okay, but what do the words primary and secondary still mean?
They
within lighting. Is the primary lighting class?
We changed
heavier users and the secondary.
We maintain the primary and secondary within those classes. So when we look at what rates our customers are serving, we know who's a rate 30 that's primary versus a rate 30 that's secondary. So when we looked at their load curves, we could say these are our primary, and we looked at those load shapes and did that equation that Tara walked through, and we looked at the rate 30 secondary customers separate from those primary customers.
Okay, so then switch to that rate, the next slide.
Right, but the definition of primary and secondary remain the same.
Okay.
It's just a further definition within that.
So just what, why in large general secondary customers pay more than primary customers per kilowatt hour. But on lighting, the primary customers pay more than the secondary customers. Why is that? It seems like they would both be the same. Not the same as each other, but like the, in both classes, either the primaries would pay more or the secondaries would pay more.
I think that's just how that customer composition within those classes use their energy in our test period.
Based on like time of day and that kind of thing that Rob was talking about.
Right, that hourly data. And then we lay those hourly prices over the top of that. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm thinking about this differently. I thought that current classes, the primary and secondary, that's how there's an allocation factor for energy, or is this for demand? Energy. The allocation for energy that just has a methodology for primary and secondary, and we're looking at creating a different allocation method altogether. This is going away.
It is.
This would be substituted for how these energy costs are calculated.
It is. It's. I think you're both saying the same thing, just in a different way. So it's a completely different methodology. It's just that we're taking those same customers and splitting them up into that different methodology. Is okay. What Steph was saying. So we still have those primary, you know,
it's still the same pool of customers.
Yeah, it's still the same customers. We're just splitting them up differently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would remind you, on the energy side, whether you're a primary customer or a secondary customer today, you're paying the same energy rate.
Oh, the same rate is applied to both.
Yeah, everybody
pays flat rate.
For energy.
For energy, yeah.
And that's the difference is, under the E87 allocation methodology, these six classes will all pay a different cost of energy.
Based on that ratio.
Yeah.
Yep. Got it. So why do we, for energy, even distinguish between primary and secondary?
There's different losses between a primary customer and a secondary customer.
Different losses.
Line losses.
Okay.
And
got it. All right, so there's other calculations that affect what they pay.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. In seventh grade language.
And who said this is in fun?
It all makes sense up here. What was that, Stephanie?
Who said this isn't fun?
Ooh. Oh. So if we think about where we were and where E8760 would go, this chart is kind of meant to show the differences. And the differences would be would be referenced in the green, purple, and orange boxes. So, again, we would still have that same set of integrated costs that would still be split between North Dakota, Montana, South Dakota. That would be the same. It would just be that those North Dakota costs and revenues would now be split amongst those six buckets instead of just primary and secondary, right? And so, and then in that purple box, they would be allocated on a ratioed per kilowatt hour basis instead of an average. And then, of course, our revenues and other offsets would also be split on a ratioed per kilowatt hour basis. So that step three, slide eight, is really kind of intended to highlight the differences between the current method and that E8760 method.
Say that one more time, that last thing that you just said.
That slide eight is really meant to highlight the differences between our current method and the E8760 method. And then those red circles would really be the differences. So
who would be impacted?
What areas would be impacted.
The bottom one is the same.
Well, and probably I should have done this differently, but really, because energy is ratioed in the E8760, revenues and other offset would be ratioed as well.
So what should that say?
Should be ratioed. So
revenues and other offsets
are ratioed.
Are ratioed?
Yep, because it's the same as energy, and energy is ratioed on the E8760. So The current is average for energy, and revenues are averaged because they're the same. E8760 energy is ratioed, and revenues and other offset would be ratioed as well because they're the same as the energy.
Okay.
So essentially, if we look at the comparison for what this would look like, is that essentially a residential customer using approximately 800 kilowatt hours per month would result in an annual increase of about $8.04 a year. Well, sorry, an annual increase of $8.04. Sorry. And you can see how that change in the system cost per kilowatt hour would be in our final column here. So essentially, increases for residential and small general, and decreases for the others. So, in conclusion, the company's preference is that we continue with our existing methodology. And as Victor referenced or foreshadowed for us, if the commission desires, the company would file an application in our next, and we would prefer that we file an application in our next rate case to implement E87-60 change, and that we wait until that time to implement a change such as this. We just really feel like that would give us the time to present a load research study that was done with the E87-60 methodology in mind. Right now, when we did the last rate case, we did that load research study with our current methodology in mind. So when we took that load research study and sort of applied this, it just wasn't done with that sort of concept in mind, and found it just wasn't perfect.
How would your load research study be different? What would you look at more, less, or differently in doing a load research study for this?
I don't think we would necessarily, the steps would probably be the same, but when I was reviewing this, the other two utilities do an E87-60 from what I understand. And I believe they have they look at 5 years of load research data, I'm understanding correctly. And I think that made sense to me and seems you could get a better handle of what your different classes are doing, what they look like, how that looks like when you lay those LMPs on top. I think it just provides a better understanding of that within a load research study. Mm-hmm. And we proposed six classes. Within some of those classes, maybe do they warrant maybe their own factor? We have time of day, we have spacing, we have irrigation. Do we, one, have the data available? And two, is it enough of a difference to warrant its own class?
So okay. Further research.
Right.
So going back to what you said, I want to recap to make sure. Continue with your current methodology. Do more research on the load study in these classes. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that ultimately we would prefer to continue with our current methodology long term. But if the commission would prefer us to do the E87-60 methodology, we would request that we wait until our next electric case to implement such methodology.
Okay. Then my follow-up question to that is, with this research, do you have any concerns on implementing this methodology, changing over? Do you see pros, cons?
I think I think there's some administrative burdensome of the six rates versus the two rates. You all have your thoughts.
I guess I would like to know what you think are the pros and cons of this, just for an understanding.
I guess my perspective would be it's just a little bit more complex. Certainly, I think there's merit in doing it because it more closely aligns the costs with the customers who are causing it.
Mm-hmm.
Administratively, as Tara mentioned, ours is pretty straightforward. The energy is one rate for everybody. So I think the main drawback from a company perspective would be the administration, the development of the rate, the amount of time and energy that we'd need to put into that. I think once you got your methodology down, I don't see that it would be terribly burdensome to do, though. Like I say, ours is, you know, it's a method that's been in place for many decades, and so it does seem to work. But I don't disagree with Marathon, and Victor probably would agree with this, that they have a position that they're using power that ultimately results in an average lower price. We're not disputing that.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have the load research for every year? I mean, do you have the information to conduct this analysis since 2019, or to get that? You don't just have that in your records. It's a special study you'd have to start doing now to get 5 years of data?
In preparation for this, I have requested the 23 data so we can start doing that study, but I don't know if we have readily available or if it's available, that hourly late data from 2019 or 2020 through 2022. I don't know if that's still available or not at this point.
Okay.
But I have requested 23.
So you'd have 23, 24, and you have 19.
We'd probably do 23, 24, and whatever.
After that?
Yeah.
Doesn't work to jump.
Probably not.
And you couldn't get 22, or you know
I don't
that's
know if
not
it's available.
Available.
I'd have to ask the question.
Maybe they're saying they'd collect 23, 24, 25, 26, and not coming for a rate case till like 27.
Yeah.
I think that's a logical approach.
I mean, that's what I was starting to hear.
Rate case until you have 5 years worth of data. That makes sense.
You know, and just kind of maybe to talk about the data.
Can't dispute
itself.
Anything here, so.
I was just ignoring that. You know, just in terms of data, if you imagine we've got all of these different rates and all the different, for essentially every hour, for every day of every year. So the volume of data in a single period is why we just don't readily have it.
Right, yeah.
You know, we don't use it typically except in the context of a rate case, which, you know, I think we filed in 16, in 22. That's when we get the data in preparation.
When did you
that.
Get your smart meters?
Say that one more time, please.
Your technology. I mean, tell me what the smart meters gather in a real time.
So I think they, well, I don't know that we technically have smart meters.
Okay, well.
But the meter information that we do get, I believe that's what we use in terms of the load research study.
Mm-hmm.
And it collects data on an hourly basis for most customers. There are some customers, for instance, that are not connected, given the rural nature of some of our customers. But that's the data we're using. And again, you're trying to take that data and say that's the whole of the population. And there's just a lot of data. And not that, again, I'm not suggesting we wouldn't do it, but that's why we just don't have it readily available.
I guess I just think that that's one of the reasons. I mean, I'm trying to connect that resource that you have. And when we talked about real-time data and to get some of that information, that was one of the benefits. And I understand it's an insurmountable amount of data. But to sift through that, I don't know, you know, put it in spreadsheets, utilize it on what you need to your classes and all that. So what would you call your meters again? I always refer to them as smart meters, but what do you guys?
I wouldn't say they're smart because there's no two-way communication. Ours are a one-way communication only today. Where some are now going where there's two-way communication between the meter
and the
company. And ours are not. It's one-way communication. So we kind of say they're not smart, but they do have the ability to communicate frequent data.
So we're just going to refer to MDU meters?
They're average meters.
One-way meters.
They're almost there.
So MDU's meters, I think the switch to this one was in the early 2000s, if I'm remembering right. But these meters they can be remotely read, but they can't do anything else, unlike Otter Tail and NSP that we've been talking to as of late. So this is kind of first gen, getting rid of meter readers, class of meters.
They're not getting any scholarships, but they're right in that sweet spot. Kind of a strong B or something.
Yep.
Lake Wobegon. Above average. Children above average. So.
They try really hard.
Okay, this question probably is more in that non-scholarship range, too. But so what has been requested here by the intervener in that case is to let's switch to the E8760 methodology. And so all you really have to do is apply your data of your customer base to a form. This is a formula, right? And so what's the current methodology called?
That's this.
Just a straight average, right?
It's just a straight average price.
Are there a bunch of other options? Like, is there some other things that we could be considering that I've never even heard of, maybe?
Not that I'm aware of.
There's probably other methods, but not commonly used, I would say.
So the E8760 is like just a unique thing, and you can either choose to use it or
it might be considered maybe a next step if you have that hourly data available.
I would say it's among the more commonly used factors for determining that. And to that point, I don't recall if it's in the filing, but certainly it was in the discussion from the intervener. It's already used by Otter Tail and Northern States Power in North Dakota.
And they must have been using it a long time because I don't recall switching.
We didn't switch it in our time here.
Yeah. Okay. Have you done the calculation? You did the impact on the residential. What would be the impact on the other classes? Is it too hard to calculate because there's no average user within them?
Right, it's a harder number to calculate. Okay. What is that average customer? Mm-hmm. We could provide you a number, but I could say that's not an average customer.
Sure.
That's not close. So we did it. We only provided the residential. It's an easier way to say it's an average customer.
And this formula that you came up with, again, it took the load curves from 2019, applied the projected 2023, not actual.
Projected, what was the 23 volumes from the case?
Volumes. Mm-hmm. Applied it. Mm-hmm. Came up with.
Applied the 2019 LMPs.
Okay, so you got that actual.
Yep, the actual LMPs.
Energy costs and hourly loads.
Yep.
Then you determined. What was the next step there? Just so I understand.
So that is what calculated the hourly marginal costs, hourly marginal energy costs, and your hourly loads. So that's what came up with this value. And then this was the energy values.
Kilowatt energy efficiency. So where does that come from?
That was the projected, that was the energy from the case.
So that's the hours they used?
Yep.
From the 23 projections?
That's the 23 projections, right?
Okay.
And then that is what, and then essentially this is your, that's what's coming up with your cost per kilowatt hour.
So of the total system, that's how much they each used, mm-hmm. right? On that. Okay, so
that's the whole average. You see it's put at 1 to understand the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is just this is the ratio of the average.
Okay, and then that's so that 1 would be applied to what to get their costs? The class ratio, how would you go with that?
You would just take, if you took 2228 divided by 2181, you would get 1.0215.
Okay, but then how is that load factor used then to calculate their, is it not used to calculate their whatever rate they pay?
Are you talking the 1.0215?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then when you calculate your cost per, so then on your fuel and purchase power adjustment,
yeah.
Let's say you come up with a fuel and purchase power adjustment that's a penny per kilowatt hour, just for ease of conversation. So let's say the residential rate would be a penny per kilowatt hour. Then you would change that to be 1.0215 cents per kilowatt hour.
Okay.
And then you would, like a lighting secondary would be 90.70 cents per kilowatt 90 hour.
Mm-hmm. Percent of that.
Right.
And the residential would pay 1.02%.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So the customers and could look at this, right, and apply it themselves to what they would be spending or not right now.
So,
now that it's been calculated. Like Marathon, they could say, okay, we're a large general primary, this is our rate, and they could compare themselves.
Theoretically, I suppose, yeah, if they looked at the fuel and purchase power adjustment filing.
So
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fuel and purchase power, fuel and purchase power adjustments adjusted on a monthly basis,
right.
Typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they would be able, you know, to that point, they would know about a week in advance of the coming month what their what rate they're going to be paying for that next month.
Yep. Okay. So my what we need to, I think, understand is what's missing from this that wouldn't be accurate because it's based on those old, you know, 1 year of data, you know, of the 1 year of data went into this formula isn't accurate enough to switch. We have to get more data to come up with a more accurate determination of what that ratio really is, right?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the piece where we're saying by looking at, you know, essentially by looking at a load research study that, you know, that has more data, by having a load research study that's really 5 years, that's really, you know, kind of to Steph's point.
And I would caution that it's not inaccurate data. It's just, is that ratio, you know, that ratio is going to change a little bit from year to year. So, I mean, what I think an expanded data set gives you is it 97.25? Or does that class change at some years? It might be 99 or 98.
Sure.
What is a good representation of that class?
It's not fair to just do it for 1 year.
Expanded data set here allows us time to look at what does this look like from a D8760 standpoint. Yeah. Gives us a better understanding of our customers from that viewpoint.
Makes sense.
Did you have a follow-up to that? Okay, because this leads into my big question. So that was for this data period, but isn't this going to change dramatically once the second phase of Applied Digital comes on? Like, would using E8760 save them, like, even way more compared to the current system than?
They don't pay any of these rates.
They're on their own rate.
Okay.
Rate.
So
they have their own zone.
So that won't impact
this
at all.
They have their own zone.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to math. Looking at chart page 7 and then going to 9. Tell me what you need from page 7 and apply it to 9. Kind of work through that again. So I understand what these numbers represent. So then go through 9 again for me.
So essentially, just trying to.
You're going to divide each of these classes by this number right here.
Where'd you get that number?
This is the total system average.
Okay.
So this is going to be basically what you divide everything by. So if you look, this is that's
okay,
a little bit more than this.
Yep.
Well,
then,
that's the ratio.
Okay. Okay.
If it's under that, then it's
lower.
And then just a couple points on that. So
on 9?
On page 7.
Okay, page 7.
You know, that was the results of the information
yep.
from the load research study.
The data gathering, yep.
Which really came up with the ratio.
Okay.
So then the ratios were applied to a specific fuel and purchase power adjustment. I don't remember which month it was.
It was October.
October of 23.
So
we took a time period and then used it and applied it to that. So one thing you'll see is that on slide 7, you know, it's around 2 cents. And again, that's just the energy. So only the energy component is impacted by the E8760 methodology. So there's a delta then between the two, and that is the demand side or our capacity and pipeline charges
okay.
that we pay. So again, it's applying that E87 factor to, I'll call it the same pool of costs. That's why there's a difference there between the two.
So do we offer any direction or thoughts here? Do we need to do anything?
That would be helpful. So I guess if it's something the three of you would like to think about first, and then Rob can just follow up with each of you individually to see if you want it ordered, prepared, and what you would...
Okay, because we do have to take action, because it was in the order.
Yep, it was a request... Essentially, it's a filing requesting a thing. So you have lots of options. I refer to the stuff like that generically as a thing.
Was it in our order, or did they just request it, and we are doing that?
It was in the order.
It
we ordered
order.
It. Okay. So then we have to, we could say, great, thanks for the info.
Yeah,
or
we
could say,
we
let's
could.
Keep studying this for the next 5 years, or bring it to the next rate case, or whatever.
Yes. Any of those, actually. That's
well,
pretty much exactly what I was going to say. So.
And what you're requesting is to keep the current methodology, and if we order adopted in the next rate case, that's one option. That's your request at this informal.
Your request is just to keep it, not to order it. For
our
the
request
case.
Is that we keep our current methodology.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
But ask if you do decide
yeah.
in the context of a next case.
Okay.
Yeah. If you did it, it feels like there's an in-between there because we don't know when your next rate case might be. Maybe there still wouldn't be enough time to collect the appropriate data by then either. Or is, I mean, I'm just thinking there might, you know, if you bring a rate case next January, you won't have had, I hope I'm not encouraging you to, but if you did...
Well,
we wouldn't have had enough time to get
we talked about that this morning as far as using this methodology on your next rate case, your standard, what you're doing now, and how would it compare to this methodology.
I'm just saying you need more time to collect
the
load data.
So 2027.
Yeah, but when we came up with that, it was based on 5 years being ideal. Like, if we said, okay, we're implementing this right now, aside from your rate case, you'd have 1 year of data, maybe two. If a rate case came in a couple years, it might be 3 or 4, maybe not the ideal 5, but certainly a lot more than 1 or 2. And so it could happen any time if there was a rate case. And, so.
And I mentioned 5 because I believe that's what the other two are.
Right. I mean, you don't want it to be too long of a period because then you lose the relevancy. It's too historically biased and it doesn't pick up on recent trends. So there could be room for debate on what the ideal amount of time would be. So,
do you have any idea, are we unique with the other two utilities in that they're 5 years? Or other states and companies that use E8760, do they tend to be longer or shorter periods of study time?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. And honestly, I mean, even with the 5 year, if that's what it is, and I don't know off the top of my head if that's what they utilize for those other two, it's only going to be adjusted during a rate case. So if there's 3 years between a rate case or 20 years between a rate case, that's when it's going to be adjusted. And kind of to that point, I mean, I have the tariff sheets for Otter Tail and NSP, and they're not, you know, night and day. It's not like it's one and two, but it's, I mean, for Otter Tail, for example, residential is a ratio of 1.025, which is not terribly dissimilar to that number. However, NSP for residential is 1.0094 for residential, which is, it's a significant difference.
Yeah. All right. Do we wouldn't do a work session on this?
We absolutely can.
I mean, I'm not saying I need one, but this has been helpful and interesting, and I obviously we need to think it through and provide the right proper direction. I mean, ideally, you'd collect it. We could see what it looks like. I don't think the commission should commit to using it in the next rate case, but bring it forward so it could be part of the discussion in the next rate case. That seems like the best option to consider.
The commission has done things like that in the past where we will say the company shall propose this, that, and the other thing at the next rate case.
Yeah.
I can follow up to see after you ruminate for a little while if anyone wants a work session. We can go from there. So.
Okay. Works for me.
I will say I'm not in a hurry to do something quickly and like change it right now outside of the rate case. I certainly know that.
All right.
Anything else?
Closing comments?
Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing easy stuff to us.
So are there any objections to the evidence produced today, which would be both the recording as well as the handout becoming part of the record?
No objection.
Okay, so the evidence that was presented will become a part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Is there anything else? If not, this informal hearing is concluded. Thank you, everyone.